The church is a bride, and the church is a body. The church as a body causes us to ask the question, do I think of the church as an organism, or do I think of the church as an organization? The church as a bride causes me to ask the question, do I think I'm dating the church, or am I married to this church?
Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and she and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church.
Have you guys ever seen the game show, the $25,000 Pyramid? Who here has seen that game show? Raise your hands. It was on like before I was alive. And that's a complete joke. But this is like the game show host thing. And you guys get the point of this game show, right? What you do is you have to get somebody to say a phrase or something like that, but you can't use any of the words in the phrase. It's kind of like the game Taboo, you know, where you're beeping each other. Only there's $25,000 at stake, so that's like a big deal, right? So just to kind of get us in the mode here, we're going to play a couple rounds of this. Here's like one. Just see if you can guess what I'm talking about. And I need to do this like somebody on this show, you know, because they can't play defense, because they lack overall talent, because they can't come up with the big play, because they're coached by Dan McCartney. Right, those are all reasons why Iowa State loses so many football games. Teeth added after the second one. I don't know how the rest of you guys didn't get it. Let's play another round of this this year. I'm sorry for all you Iowa State. No, I'm not. I shouldn't lie. Okay, now, because I'm exhausted from the week already, because I overslept past my alarm. Okay, somebody's getting it here. We'll finish these. Because everybody there is just a hypocrite anyways. Because Sunday Night Football is in high def with Al Michaels and John Madden. That's right. Those are all reasons why I wouldn't come to church. Right? And truth be told, honestly, I've kind of like inwardly voiced some of those before. Especially that high def thing, you know. Man, they get the best games of the night and it's on Sunday night. Right when we're supposed to come back for a second service. Oh, man. You know, this is a real question, though. Here's the question for you is, why do you even come to church? I mean, you're leading a busy life. You've got tons of things going on. It's hectic, I know. And it seems like Sunday is like the only day that we get a chance to just breathe and exist. So why come to church on that day? I mean, why spend your time here? Why is the church even a priority in our lives? Let's take a look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We're going to start in. And we're just going to look at two pictures that God gives us, two kind of word pictures, two illustrations that God gives us speaking of the church. And I think as we begin to understand that the church is a body and the church is a bride, this will change and affect the way that we approach the way we come to church. Why do you come to church? Why are you here? What are you here to do? God has something to say. The book of Ephesians, where the scripture reading was coming from, we're going to be looking in chapter 4, and we're going to be starting today in verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse number 11. Now, I just want to, before we get there, I just want to say this. The book of Ephesians is written to a group of people, a church at Ephesus. It's written to inform them about the riches that they have in Jesus Christ. And one of those riches that's found in being in Jesus Christ is that you're not just in him, you're also connected to a whole big thing that's called the body or the church. Now, when the Bible talks about the idea of the church, it talks about kind of two manifestations, two ways of seeing the church. The first one is like what we're gathered in today. This is a local assembly, okay, of believers. It's a local church. The second one is kind of known by like theologians. They'll say it's the universal church. It's everybody everywhere who believes in Jesus who's there. The local church is a visible expression of the fact that the universal church exists. Now, one thing the Bible doesn't talk about is like when you guys were kids, we learned this, right? You know, I don't know if I can do this backwards. I don't think I can. Here's the church. You ever do this? I got to get my fingers inside. I messed it up. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. You open the doors and what do? So you see all the people, right? So what's the church in that illustration? This is a building, right? Now, that concept's foreign to the New Testament, okay? There's nowhere in the New Testament where it uses the word church to refer to building. The church refers to the people who are inside of it, okay? Now, just to get that definition out of the way, now we look at this illustration that Paul brings up for us of that the church is a body. And we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. It says this, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ." So here it says that God gives gifted people to the church in the form of apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers, evangelists. And what are those people's job description? If you were to boil down Pastor Nimmer's job description in one sentence, what is it? Equip the saints for the work of the ministry for the end of building up the body of Christ. So that the pastor's job isn't so much to fill the seats as much as to take the people who are already filling the seats and transform you and help you to engage in what God has called you to do. Okay? Now, in verse 13, we pick it up. How long are we doing this? To what end do we do this? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. So in other words, here's a question that this is answering is, how do we know that this building up of the body is occurring? How do we know that people are being equipped and the body of Christ is being built up? What are outward signs? It gives us, as I can see, five basic characteristics of what I'm going to call bodybuilding. The first one, it says, is unity in the faith. The idea here, I think, is faith used in the linkage that we're linked through the gospel. We're linked through a common belief in Jesus Christ. That's expressed in a corporate way because we all know or are knowing there's a knowledge of the Son of God. That shows itself up in maturity, not immaturity. We'll see the contrast here. But mostly it says we're built up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's a Christ-likeness happening in the church corporately. And then also it says we're not childish. You notice that the childish thing is kind of the negative expression. All those are, there's unity in the faith, there's knowledge in the Son of God, there's maturity, there's Christ-likeness, but there's not childishness. And childishness of the sort, the idea here is that you're easily persuaded by wrong ideas, okay? A church that's not building itself up, that's not being built up, that's not growing, you're going to see a lot of people who come into church and say, you know what, I was just listening to this guy on TV last night. I never heard anything like this before. First off, if you're watching TV and you hear something that you've never heard anything like that before, truth be told, probably it's wrong. Okay, but you come running in with all the latest and greatest ideas and fads, and you heard this guy on TV, and you think, this is it. We have got to get on board with this. We're going to pump wells outside in the community, and we're going to spray the water up in the air. People are going to see it and come to church. You know what I mean? There's all these ideas. This is where cults come from, by the way, too. This is an inscription. If you want to look of how do you characterize what a cult is, look at this verse in Ephesians. They have winds of doctrine. They have human cunning. They have craftiness. They have subtle twisting of ideas. And the idea here is that a maturing, building up body, those things are not present. What is present then, though? It says in 4:15, rather speaking the truth in love. The word speaking probably isn't the best translation. If you could put it in a way, it would be literally truthing it in love. The idea here is that it's not just your speech, but it's your whole life that's authentic. You're real. You're not false in how you live or how you talk or anything that you do. You're truthing it in love. So rather truthing it in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is really, really important. If we can grasp what this is saying here, this will change the way that we come to church. It'll give us motivation for those early mornings when the alarm clock is going off. Why? Because how does it say that the body grows? What causes the growth of the body? I just point out three things that text says. It says, first, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. What causes bodies of churches to grow? They're directed by Jesus Christ. It's not a person. The core thing is we come here and we say, I'm not following Mark, I'm not following Lucas, I'm following Christ. And as we all follow Christ together, there's this whirlwind of momentum that gains. Second, it says that the body is organized by Christ. It said here that it's joined and held together by every joint. Think of it this way. If you're here as part of this church, you're like a cell, okay? I don't want you to quite think of the skeletal structure. I want you to think more on the cellular level. You're all cells in a body. Now, cells are individual entities, but an individual cell on its own does nothing, right? It's interrelated to the whole, so that as this part grows, this part here grows. Imagine what would happen if the cells in your body went in mutiny. Well, we know what happens, right? It's called cancer. Okay, the idea here is the church grows when it's not cancerous with cells attacking one another, but it's cooperative with cells helping and building each other up. So that's the second thing. What causes the body to grow? The body grows because it's directed by Christ. The body grows because it's organized by Christ. And the body grows as each part of the body does the job that that part has. It says that when each part is working properly, this makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let me ask you this question here today. How do you think of the church? Do you think of the church as an organization or as an organism? And there's an essential difference between the two in how you're going to approach what we do here at church. Think of it. Is it the church an organism that you're a part? You're one of the cells. You're pouring yourself out to build something bigger than you? Or is it an organization where you, the consumer, come here to be rendered goods and services? Because how you view the church is going to determine how you behave when you're here. Here's what I mean. Just think of the contrast here. The role when you come to an organization, when I go to Walmart, I go there as a consumer. I'm there to get goods and services. In organism, I come here as a member. It's not really about what I can get. It's because I'm a part of this thing. In organization, my anticipation when I go to the stores, I'm thinking, what can I get? What am I supposed to pick up when I make the run here? What can I get out of this? Whereas in organism, you come and you have to give and receive. It's a reciprocal type of idea. We're all building each other up. In organization, your goal as a consumer is to pay money or time or whatever to be rendered something in return of goods and services. Your goal as an organism, your goal as part of a body, is you're coming here to build others up. It's not about, in other words, being blessed. I came to church today because I need to be blessed by the Word of God. That sounds really spiritual, but if that's your main motivation, you're wrong. Because the motivation in a body is you come to be a blessing, and then you're blessed. Think of it this way, okay? Just think of what would happen if every single person here in this church was calling the shots like a consumer, what would happen then? I think this video may help us out a little bit here.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys. Right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
So is that what church is? You're the consumer and you come here and you can get a pony. Kids, check the bet. No, that's not. I mean, think of it this way. Why is this so important here? I'm just giving you three real simple reasons why this is important. Think of what happens when you come to a conflict as a consumer. Let's say, now I frequent a lot of local coffee shops because I like coffee. I'm addicted to a legal stimulant. It's okay. And so I go to my favorite coffee shop that I frequent. I walk in and they hand me a cup of coffee and I go and I dip my finger in it. It's ice cold. It's freezing. And I walk up and I say, I didn't order an iced mocha here. And I paid $4 for this cup of coffee because that's what they charge you around here. And why is this not warm? And they say, well, Mark, we're having a cash flow issue. And it costs a lot of money to run those heaters for the pots. So we just decided to kind of, cut the juice on that and just serve cold coffee. And not only that, but, we've kind of switched our beans, you may have noticed. And I say, yeah, it's kind of gross. They're like, well, we switched to Maxwell House. It's good to the last drop. and they're like, you see the prices on those, beans from Starbucks? They're outrageous. Maxwell House will work fine. You know what I would do? What would you do? You'd walk out. You'd walk down the street two blocks over to the next coffee shop because they're all over the place. And you would get a nice piping hot cup of coffee that's made with premium beans from Guatemala or something like that. Because as a consumer, when there's conflict, when there's a rub here, what do? I get up and I leave. And I take my money and my time somewhere else. How about this? How does being a consumer or a part of an organism affect commitment? Think of this. When was the last time you walked into your local Walmart and while you're going out the checkout lane, you said, I just noticed that your displays out front aren't really tidy, and I'm really good at organizing stuff. So I just wonder, if you don't mind, I'd love to go out there and straighten up all those displays for you. I just love it here at Walmart. It's my favorite place in the world. No one does that. Because why do you go to Walmart? To get something. You don't go there to give your time. They pay people to do that, right? Now, if this church, all it is an organization, why in the world would you ever give sacrificially of yourself? Why? You're just here to get something. Or think of it this way. This is the most important one. Christ's representation of the world. Let's say the person sitting next to you today walked into this church service and said, you know what? This is the last chance for you, God. I've been burned all my life by Christians. And this is the last chance. I'm coming here today and I want to see something real. And you walk in and you say, I didn't feel like setting my alarm, so I'm going to come in here 15 minutes late. Then I'm going to sit here, and I don't really like that song, so I'm just going to kind of do this sort of thing. and just get a little bit of shut-eye before the message. Then I'm going to walk out real quick because I don't want to run into anybody because I'm kind of in a grumpy mood. And, you know, I don't want to extend to myself. And the person sitting right next to you is looking to see something real in the body of Christ. And you know what they saw? They saw a consumer coming to get something from an organization. They didn't see a person who is representing Jesus Christ to the world. And that's deadly serious. Because this thing that we're offering here, it's not the dairy products at Walmart. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's eternity. And don't you understand, when you come in those doors, you are representing Him. It's not about you. And how dare you be so selfish to make it like that? And how dare I? Because the truth of the matter is, a lot of times I walk through those doors and it's all about me. It's not about Him. See, when you view the church as an organization, not as an organism, it changes the way that you come to church. And I just want to ask you, think of it. The church is the body of Christ. How do you view the church? Is it an organism or is it an organization? Okay, I said two pictures. We looked at the first one. The church is a body. Now let's look at the second one here. The church as a bride, from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 32. As Lucas read these, you saw the focus or the idea of this text is that it's addressed to husbands and wives. It's put inside the context of a family relationship. I think probably a lot of us had something similar to this preached at like our wedding or referred to in our wedding. Now, Paul's addressing a practical way, the way that we're to walk in our marriage. Husbands, you're supposed to be characterized by loving your wives. Wives, you're supposed to be characterized by submitting to your husband's loving leadership. Now, why do we do that? Because Jesus Christ gives us an example and a model to follow in how we relate to each other. Look with me at the text here, and we're going to start in verse 25, Ephesians 5:25. We're going to start there, and it says here, husbands, you love your wives. Why? Or how? As Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Just look at the types of love that Christ expresses toward the church here. It says he gave Himself up. It's a sacrificial love. In order that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. It's a purifying love. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Look at those words, nourish, cherish. It's a caring love. Because we're members of His body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast or cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It is an unbreakable love. The two that were separate became one. And this is what's so surprising here in the text, right? Because we would say, and this is how you husbands and wives should live. And instead, Paul says here, this mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. You ever think of your marriage like that? You are a living, breathing, walking, talking picture of Christ in the church. So really, the most important thing that you're representing is not the fact that you're a good husband or a good wife, but that you're a part of the church. And that Jesus loves you. And your marriage is supposed to display to the world around what it looks like to say that Jesus loves the church. Think of marriage like that, and it changes a lot of things about the way you approach your wife. And it should continue to change them in me. But that's the key point here, right? He's saying that the institution of human marriage was created not just for you and me, not just for us, but also for Him. So that our marriage is designed from the very onset of it to be a picture of Jesus Christ and His love from the church. Think of it this way by way of application, okay? I see just a couple things here. Husbands, you're supposed to love and submit. Wives, you're supposed to love and submit. 2, the church is a bride of Christ. And just as the wife should submit to the leadership of the husband, the bride should submit to the leadership of Christ. But then 3, look here. Here's the question. Are you married to the church or are you just dating the church? I saw this on the front of a book in a bookstore. It said, stop dating the church. And I thought, oh man, that's interesting. I never thought about it like that. But this text kind of causes us to think about it. Because at the beginning of chapter 5, it said that we're supposed to be imitators of God as dearly loved children. And then it goes through in chapter 5 in those verses we just read, and it says, Jesus Christ loves, deeply loves, obviously, the church. So if I'm supposed to imitate him, and I'm supposed to follow his example, then I think I should start caring some about the things that he cares about. And the illustration of marriage and dating is an interesting one when you start to think about it. Because how you approach marriage and how you approach dating are two totally, totally separate sorts of things, aren't they? Josh and Jorge, they've got a skit that they're going to do here for us, and you guys can come on out and set that up. But I think this is going to help us just kind of picture and get this idea of what does it mean to say I'm dating the church versus the idea that I'm married to the church. Let's take a look at these guys. I think they'll help us out.
So you seen anybody?
Yeah, I'm at this new church on Northwest 6th.
Yeah? You like her?
Yeah, well, we've had some good times, so yeah, it's all right.
How long you two been together?
Let's think. Oh, like 6 months or so, something like that.
It's quite a while. Getting into, like, membership classes
Yeah. I get those membership classes. She kind of likes that stuff, so I go to it to please her, you know.
Yeah. So, is she attractive?
Oh, yeah. She is totally hot. She's got a great lobby, new auditorium, awesome parking lot. She is totally fine.
So, you talking about marriage at all?
Whoa, no way. I mean, I don't think so. Not yet, I mean. Look, I'm still young, and there are a lot of churches out there that I haven't met yet. And, you know, you don't go marrying the first church you meet. And there are some things about her. Nothing bad. It's just, you know, she's kind of clingy. You know, she wants me to be there every single week. And then I get there, and instead of talking to her like I want to, she's like, hey, you need to sit down and listen to the music. It just gets a little old, you know? But then again, she is a great cook. I mean, you get her into a kitchen, it's like, whoa! Like a professional caterer or something.
Well, that doesn't sound that bad.
It's not. It's just, you know, she gets a little expensive. I mean, offering plates being passed every single week. And she's so popular. She's always swarming with people. I mean, I just want to stand up and be like, hello, I'm right here. Do you see me? Are you listening? And then she calls me up on the phone and is like, hey, I want you to come and do these community groups and serve in the nursery. Whoa, kids, this fast? Hello. I mean, I want to be like, honey, we got a beautiful thing happening here, but I'm feeling a lot of pressure from your side, all right? I mean, I don't really say this to her at all, but I just want to be like, back off! I don't mean to be proud. I'm not trying to say this to be proud or anything, but there are a lot of churches out there that would love to have me. I mean, and they wouldn't be calling me to be, hey, you want to go to these groups and give some money and take care of the kids? I mean, you know what I mean? I just want to keep my options open, you know?
Are you like Josh? Dating the church? You want to keep your options open for a while? You know, I thought about the marriage vows that I read my wife. You ever think of that? This is the first time I've ever done this. Last night I got them and I printed them off on my computer. I read them, only I read them like I'm reading them to you guys, to the church. Hey, it kind of goes this way. I, Mark Vance, take you, the people of Sailorville Baptist Church, to be my church family. It's very sweet. To have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish from this day forward until death do us part. And I thought all of that was pretty good, except the death do us part thing. That was like a little bit extreme for me. Maybe that's overstating the case a bit, like you're supposed to stay in the church till you die. But sometimes, honestly, I wish I erred more on that side of commitment versus like Josh's side of commitment to the church. I mean, honestly, I think the way many, many of us look at this thing, it would be more like reading it like this. I, Mark Vance, take you, the people of Sailorville Baptist Church, to be my church family, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for richer, in health, and as long as I feel like I love you. At such point as any of the above conditions is not met, it's not you, it's me, but it's over. I'm finding a new place, a new church. And I just wonder if part of the reason why we look at the church like that isn't just a reflection of the fact that we're thinking more of the church like that and not like that. See? Because a church is not this building, which we thank God for, but it's not this. I'm not going to deeply love and be committed to a building. But if you look everybody around you in the eye and say, you know what, you're the church. Think of that. Think of that. I love you. I'm here for you. I'm here to build you up. Don't just think in these abstract terms. Think names. I'm here for Blake and Kim Lawfer. It's really hard to break up with a church when it's not just an organization that's doing something to you, but it's a body that you're part of, that you love. The church is a bride, and the church is a body. The church is a body causes us to ask the question, do I think of the church as an organism, or do I think of the church as an organization? The church is a bride causes me to ask the question, do I think I'm dating the church, or am I married to this church? Now, you may come here today, and you're probably in various places in connection to this church. Some of you here are just visiting for the first time, and you walk in, and the guy's telling you you need to marry a church, and you're thinking, this is the wackiest thing I've ever heard in my life. I want to say to you today, there's a couple things that are really important for you to understand. The first thing is that the privilege of being part or connected with this thing called the body of Christ and this thing called the church, the most important thing that the book of Ephesians talks about, it says that to be in the church, you've got to be in Christ. It says it like this way in the book of Ephesians. I just want to read this for you. If you're here visiting, just think of yourself. This is what the book of Ephesians says about you. It says about me, and you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And you think, all of those blessings, how is that mine? For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not a result of your works, so that no one may boast. So today, the first thing, if you're here visiting with us, that I want to ask you is, are you in Christ? Have you, by God's grace, by accepting through faith what Jesus did for you, have you been put into the family? Have you been, as the Bible calls it, born again? not of flesh and blood, but of the Spirit of God? That's the first question, because if you're not in Christ, listen, this whole church thing, it may sound like a wonderful idea to you, and it may sound like a great social organization, but look, the entrance isn't necessarily based on just me wanting to. It's based on God choosing me and putting me into that body, right? Second, though, if you are here visiting with us and you do know Christ, can I ask you this? Are you committed to a local church? Are you connected to a body of believers that's growing and vibrant where you're beginning to love one another and you're seeing these things happen? I just want to urge you, find a place where you can connect. Go there and get involved in a local church. One step that you could take that would be really easy for you today is, as you came in, if you're a visitor, there's a yellow card that you got handed or that are in the pews right in front of you. It's a visitor card. All it is us wanting to say to you, we want to make sure that your time was well spent here. And we want to make sure that if there's any questions or any things that you want to know about this church, about Sailorville Baptist Church, or about how you get in the church to begin with, about what it means to be in Christ, about what it means to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, why don't you just fill out one of those cards? You can hand it to me when you walk out or something like that. It would be a great first step for you to say, you know what, I want to head toward being part of something called the church. Now, there's a second group of people here. And you guys are part of Sailorville Baptist Church, kind of. And you know kind of what I mean when I say kind of. You know that you could get more connected. You know that you need it. You kind of feel that urge, but there's just enough of the pull of whatever else it is to keep you from taking that leap and saying, you know what, I really want to buy into this thing called the church. And today, I'm not going to say it like this. I'm not going to try to guilt trip you like God doesn't love you if you don't come to prayer meeting and come to community group and do everything that's ever happening at the church. Because some of us are doing those things thinking that that's going to make us accepted by God, and that is completely off. Going to church and doing church stuff doesn't make you accepted by God. Being accepted by God wells up in love in your heart where you want to go and be a part of something, right? It's a total different perspective. But I just want to say to you two things today. One, we are missing you. This body is missing you. Didn't you notice that in Ephesians 4? It says that the church builds itself up as each part does its work. And if you're in Christ, God's given you something to do that is different from me, that you not getting plugged in and involved in the lives of people here, you're robbing the people around you of what God wants to do through you. And second, this may sound weird, but whether you realize it or not, you're missing us. You are. Because God says that the benefits of being part of a body of believers are wonderful. There's nothing in the world like being able to come to church and be part of a family that's bigger than you and say, you know what, I am deeply loved by so many people. What a wonderful privilege. We want you to be a part of this, not because it's like something where we got to drag you along, but because you love the people here. Because there's something wonderful that's found in being part of a family. And I want you to experience that joy. Then the third category. There are some of you that I look at, and I know they wouldn't want me to say this, but I look at Harold and Ellen, who are sitting right here, who you've invested for so many years in this church. And I say, let us continue together and all the more. I just want to read you. You say, you know what, I'm connected, I'm involved, I'm invested. And as I say these things, I say, yes, I want to be part of this body. I want to be married to this church. I want to be connected to these people. Here's what Paul says to you. Not Paul. I think it might be Paul. Author of Hebrews. Chapter 10 and verse 19. says this, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful." And look at this. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another." And then what does he say? "And all the more." Going upward. Keep it ongoing. Do even more than what you're doing right now. "And all the more as you see the day drawing near. And even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." The church is a body, and the church is a bride. What's your perspective on the church today? Let's just pray together. Father, I'm just reminded of all the things that you've done in my life, because there's been a body of believers who've really loved me and cared about me, and who have loved me enough to say, you know what, as one, we're going to run together after Jesus Christ. We're going to make him the treasure of our lives. And Lord, I just thank you so much for the people who've been part of a church who have poured into me. Thank you, God. And for those who are my brothers and sisters here today, they're probably at different places in their lives and different stages in their walk with Christ. And I just pray, God, that you would move them to take that next step in committing to be a part of a local body of believers. Because there's this incredible thing that you do when we come together. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to be a part of it. I'm so grateful. Thank you for saving me and putting me in Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.sailorvillebaptist.com. Drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.